If you have your Bibles, could you turn to Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6? And I'm reading from the New International Version. If you have the core Bibles, it's page 742. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas will be brought to you, and to the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Amen.
We have a second reading from the scriptures this morning, and it's found in Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 to 12, and you might like to follow on the screen. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God help us to see a deeper meaning in his word today.
In that reading, we come to the climax, the conclusion of the Christmas story. And I've grown up looking at Christmas cards where you've got Mary and Joseph and the baby and the shepherds and the sheep and the cattle and the wise men in their silken robes there all at the manger scene. Is that the way you used to see Christmas cards? Well, it didn't quite happen like that. Yesterday was known as the Feast of the Epiphany. Now, that's a mouthful, isn't it? The Feast of the Epiphany. You've got to get your tongue around that one. And it means simply that it's relating to this event that we read about in the scripture, where God brought together history, God, in a miraculous way, revealed that salvation was not only for the Jewish people, but for the Gentile, for the whole world redeeming. For God so loved his only begotten Son that he sent his Son into the world that all the world may be saved. And you think about it, these Magi came from the east, somewhere near Yemen today. They journeyed and they represented the non-Jewish aspect of this whole message. And there's a little statement that I want us to look at here. The presence of mystery is the footprint of the divine. Just hang into that one. The presence of mystery is the footprint of the divine. And there are things that happen that we don't quite understand. And when we look at it carefully, we see that God has put his footprint there. Events that have happened in our life. And so here we have the journey of the Magi. Now, last year, Elaine and I spent a couple of days out at Coonabarabran, and on those cold nights, we went out and we looked into these incredible telescopes and we looked up through the stars. And the people that were showing us, they knew the names of all the stars. They knew where they were all located. They knew all about it. We even saw falling stars, stars that had died, and it was happening there before our eyes. And there are people from other parts of the world who had rented out these telescopes, and they were there in London in the morning looking at the stars there in Coonabarabran, plotting out the history of astrology. And this was so important in the days and in the plan of God to reveal the real purpose of the Messiah, his Son. Now, I don't know whether anybody here has ever ridden on a camel. I think Graham Gosling has. And Wendy. And Dilma. Now, they tell me that camels have fleas, they smell, they're cantankerous, and they're pretty hard to work with. You imagine riding a camel from Sydney to Newcastle. Can you imagine that? But I have to say that these guys came a lot further than Newcastle. They travel for days. So much so that when we read in Matthew's Gospel that when they came to visit Jesus, it was in a house. They'd found alternate accommodation to that manger scene on that Christmas morning. I read a little prayer last Sunday. And I thought that it is worthy of sharing this morning. Dr. Susan Elliott, life-giving God, we are Magi on a caravan of lumbering hope, travelling through grinding wind and glaring sun, chill clear nights, skin-baking days, we come to seek your light. And we can imagine the journey for these men. They were there doing what they always did, looking at the stars, charting, working out events, dates, times, and you know, all of these things were so important to history and to time. And there, in the midst of their searching, the creation of a new star. Now, they could have easily just charted it down and said, yeah, this is great. Let's keep an eye on this star and let's watch it. Let's sit here and just let's watch it forever. But it was a journey. And they made the choice to follow that star. They made the choice to fulfill some prophecy. And we read from Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the light has come. And when you read through Isaiah, you see that these are dark days, days of despair. And in Isaiah 60, there's a reference to Jesus coming as the light into the world. And there's also a reference to camels, and there's a reference to gold and incense. Now, I don't know whether that was a fulfillment of prophecy. It could well have been, but it was there. And so these magi commenced their journey, and they followed that star. There were dangers. They could only follow it of a night, and you imagine riding a camel in the night, not the day. And in the day there was the heat, and there was the searching for water, for sustenance. The presence of mystery is the footprint of the divine. That's, you know, God was there. God had his footprint on what was taking place in these days. And this prayer goes on. We come lumbering in hope, each one of us, on our own life's journey, travelling through times of loneliness and fear, through heartbreak and anger, through grief and loss, through economic uncertainty, through our own private crises, the simple letting go of a child more ready to be an adult than we're ready to allow that their growth, through the changes of a new marriage, through the welcoming of a new child, or the completion of a degree. We come lumbering in hope on a journey of joys and sorrows. We read how the Magi arrived at Jerusalem because they believed that they came seeking the birth of a new Jewish king. That was their foundational belief because of what they saw in that star and what they interpreted it. And they turned up in Jerusalem. And we know that these people must have been influential enough for Herod the king to seek their counsel and to ask them what they were on about, and where they were going and what they were doing. He'd already talked to his advisors, and they'd referred him to Micah, the prophet Micah in the Old Testament. And in Micah it's recorded that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And so it was not strange to him that these magi confirmed what was going to happen, what was going to take place. And we know the story, how he wanted them to report back and all of that. But we come to the house where Mary and Joseph were. And we read these words. Light-giving God, we admit that we are like Herod the king, trembling in fear at the news of the rising of your light. We admit that we're afraid that the light of your truth may indeed rise, and it may be threatening to us. And like Herod, we fear the rise of the truth of the harm that we've done to others, to build their own palaces and to fortify our own power. We fear to admit to ourselves the truth that might rise within us as we acknowledge the pain of what we've done to others and what others have done to us. Light-giving God, we come trembling as Herod, afraid of your light. And so Matthew records the moment when they came with their gifts and they worshipped. And how true this is, that Jesus was revealed to all of the earth in that moment. In that moment when they arrived, Jesus was revealed to all the earth. Men as poor as the shepherds and as rich as the Magi, as Jewish as Bethlehem and as Gentile as those foreigners. And as they came, they were filled with joy. And they entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And falling on their knees, they honoured him. life-giving God, we are also the Magi, wrapped in joy. To arrive at the manger that cradles your light, we greet the rising light that Herod so fears. We too fear this light, this truth, for here we meet your light and truth, the truth of our own powerlessness. We are Magi, wise and respected sages. We are Herod the King, holding wealth and power. Yet we are no more than this helpless infant, no more than the human rubbish on the tidal wave of time, human beings, no more, no less. And so they offered their gifts. They completed their journey. And now they go back to live their normal lives. How suddenly life can change. We can go from darkness into light. Jesus waits. Jesus longs for us to come. Jesus is a beacon light. Yet it often takes a moment of sudden perception to realise something we've always known. These final words from this prayer. Light-giving God, let us sit in stillness in the light of this truth of our powerlessness until we can see the real light cradled here, until we're enveloped in the assuring light of this truth, until we shine in the light of the common humanity you reveal to us here. Light-giving God, we lumber together in hope as your church to lift your light. Let the light that we lift be the light visible in the manger. Let us lift not the light of congratulations of ourselves, not the light of belief in our own superiority, not the light of our belief in our own narrow presuppositions, not even the light of your own church. Let us lift the light from you that we can encounter here, the light of the power you make known to us in the truth of our powerlessness. The light we can see as we sit quietly as Magi in the manger, learning to be at ease with our common humanity, learning to be at ease with you. I thought they were great words, a great prayer. And it finishes, as we lift that light, may we too be lifted to know the true power that lies among us, waiting to rise as a beacon of true hope. So on this day, as we come to the conclusion of this Christmas story, may the Lord just open our hearts and our minds to this endless truth that Jesus is Lord.